I'm off my game today.
No, you're not.
That's true.
People are going to have to start making better content.
I think we're going to be talking about this for a long time.
When you program for everyone, you program for no one.
I think it's that we're a purpose-driven platform. Like, we're trying to get to substance. How was that? Are you happy with that?
Yeah.
This is marketing therapy right now.
It really is.
What's up? I'm Laura Correnti.
And I'm Alexa Kristen. Welcome back to Adlandia, episode 14. So we have a special guest. We always have special guests,
we're
think.
We're all special.
But this one, she's bright, she's shiny, she's super smart and articulate and thoughtful. And I feel like I could actually talk to her for days and still not kind of scratch the surface of what's going on in her mind. Kelly Schweitzer.
So Kelly Schweitzer is the Chief Content Officer of Thrive Global. And originally we brought Kelly on the show today to interview her, but I felt like it was actually a therapy session.
I mean, you really did look like you were going through therapy. You were looking at her like, preach to me. Preach
Amen,
to me
sister.
About what I need to do. We're going to have Callie come back on and maybe do Callie's Corner.
Yeah, she might have the first franchise on
I love
Adlandia.
It, on Adlandia. But she's one of the most accomplished people I know.
And she hustles her behind
she
off.
She hustles.
And I think, you know, we've spent the last 13 episodes talking about how we change the ad industry, the ad model,
what's
thinking
happening.
About marketing differently. But we're going to take episode 14 and make a sharp right and talk about how we change behavior as
an industry.
An industry.
Yeah.
And focus on well-being.
Yeah.
And so
with that, we're going to talk to Kelly Schweitzer, Chief Content Officer of Thrive Global.
We'll be right back.
Today, we have a very special guest, Kelly Schweitzer. She's the Chief Content Officer of Thrive Global.
So, Kelly, welcome to the show. You're in Atlandia.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks for coming.
I'm such a fan.
Are you?
Honored to be here.
What's your favorite episode? I'm going to test you.
Obviously, the Linda Boff episode number 13, mostly because I was really happy I wasn't number 13, because I feel like she's lucky Linda.
She's
number
13.
Lucky Linda.
And
maybe
I can be 14. 8 Mile Boff. Exactly right.
So, Kelly.
Yes.
You are the Chief Content Officer of Thrive Global.
So and you're building our audience content. About what Thrive is.
Yeah.
So Thrive is Arianna Huffington's new health and well-being company, really focused on changing the way we work and live. So I met Arianna actually a year ago this week, and I reread Thrive before I was meeting with her. And on page 23, she says, you know, the workplace isn't working, and it's going to be women who change the way we work and live and men who thank us for it. And I was just like, I'm in. I'm doing it. And so I went and met with Arianna. I heard her vision for this company, which was really based on her book Thrive, followed by her book Sleep Revolution. And I just thought, this is a global movement that I want to be a part of. You know, the workplace really isn't working for anyone. I mean, you look around at the number of people who are just completely burnt out. It's an absolute epidemic. And there are so many issues that are not being dealt with and not being talked about. And so I saw this as an amazing opportunity to go get involved in a conversation that I'm really passionate about. And so we launched the company on November 30th of 2016.
That's my birthday.
Oh my gosh, happy birthday. We had a launch party. I would have loved to have sung happy birthday.
It was probably Ariana's.
We'll have a special birthday party this year for you and for Thrive.
Wonderful.
Perfect. And so we're really focused on two things. One is corporate well-being and two is our consumer platform. So corporate well-being means going into companies, working with corporations ranging from Accenture to JP Morgan to Snap to Uber to Safaricom, talking to their workforces, training them in these pillars of well-being. And the other part is the consumer platform, which is really a public-facing media platform that we're going to get both of you to write for. You have to answer our Thrive questionnaire. And it's all about...
I don't sleep, so I don't know if I'd be a good candidate.
Well, we're going to change that. We're going to change that. But it's the overarching mission of the company is to end the stress and burnout epidemic and to really offer people sustainable solutions. And it's so interesting because what Arianna found on her Thrive book tour was that everyone wanted to talk about sleep and this idea that we are running ourselves into the ground. And she has this amazing line, people are sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Yeah.
And you think about it, it's so true. I mean, that feeling that you have at the end of the day, you know, if you're just completely and utterly exhausted, you can't show up up in every part of your life the way that you want to,
yeah.
whether it's for your family, whether it's for your friends. And so it really does matter, and it spills into everything that you're doing. And so giving people these sustainable solutions, you know, we think of ourselves as a behavior change platform. That is what we're yeah. focused on, helping people go from knowing what to do to actually doing it. So if you're going to say, you know, I can't sleep, I'm going to turn to you and be like, no, you can. We're going to fix that. And it's so important that we take content and make it into something that is actionable.
How do you build content that actually leads people down that road that they can actually, because I think a lot of people talk about wellness, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of people talk about taking time out. But I mean, looking around the table at three women who work their butts off, mm-hmm. right?
Amen.
It doesn't, I can't actually understand that in my daily life. Like, I have a really, really hard time.
But we'll read about it all day long.
I'll read about it and I'll say, wow, that's so awesome. And yeah, hey, and I'll like it. And blah, blah, blah. But how do you build content that really impacts?
Yeah. So it's a great question, because I think, you know, one of the challenges in the content world at large is this idea that everything is content now. Anything that competes for your attention is content.
Totally.
And, you know, when people say, you know, who are your competitors? I'm like, anything that wants your attention is our competitor. Because ultimately, you know, whether it's a push notification from Instagram or a dating app or Snapchat or, you know, the weather or news, you know, any of these things are all competing for time, which is a finite resource. And so I think that, I mean, one of the key things for us is really building that brand has to start from scratch, and it has to have major value add in people's lives. And so it really is the going from knowing what to do to actually how to do it.
Yeah.
And that starts with micro steps. So our whole behavior change platform is built around this idea of micro
steps.
And
with only 8 seconds of attention, I think micro is a good place
Precisely.
To start.
Precisely.
So give our listeners, like, okay. give me your top three micro changes.
So here's one. I mean, first of all, I don't sleep with my phone in my bedroom. And that has made the biggest difference.
So Ariana preaches that all the time,
yes,
right?
She and got I will to a tell place. You, it is life-changing.
Where do you put your phone?
I leave it in my kitchen.
Yeah, that makes
Just
sense. I'd leave
there,
it in my kitchen.
Leave it in my kitchen, and it completely changes your day, because when the first thing you do when you wake up is not look at your phone and see the number of emails and texts or bad push notifications about news or this or that, you know, it completely changes how you start your day.
Yeah.
And so, okay, you're going to say, okay, I can't do that. I have kids. I have this. What would I use for my alarm clock? Okay, we'll buy you a physical one. But the reality is, try it one night. See how you do. Can you do it? Can you spend 30 minutes before bed without your phone? You know, spend time away, unplugging, watch TV without your phone. I mean, we have so become consumed by this idea that we must always be productive, and it's actually leading us to be less productive.
All right. So put the phone down, number yes. one. What are your next two?
You know, I will tell you, I've become a standing desk person. I never would have thought that, but I will tell you that standing during the day has
become... Are you kidding me? I look at you and I see a standing desk. You got so much damn energy. Are you kidding me?
I used to think, how could I ever stand all day? Those people must be crazy. And then I started doing it. Now when I sit, I'm like physically uncomfortable. I mean,
I've had a standing desk for 2 weeks. Ask me how many times I've stood.
None. Zero.
I was going to say maybe twice.
Fucking power typing.
So you just move your desk to, you move your laptop to the couch, right? That's the move.
No, I just sit in the same spot all day, and then my iPhone says, get up, and I'm like, fuck off. Sorry.
I love
but
that.
But anyway, okay, give us one more.
Yeah, I don't even know if that counts as micro. That might
I
be
think
too bold. But I think even
I don't think
making sure you move throughout the day is so key.
To how you feel. It's not
absolutely.
Even just like getting physical.
Absolutely.
It's actually just mentally how you feel.
Totally.
Yeah.
I'm also very obsessed with the idea of really radicalizing your notifications and sort of everything that you do around
this
your phone.
I've done.
So we work with this guy, Tristan Harris, who's a former Google design ethicist. He recently gave a TED talk about how, you know, technology is hijacking humanity, and this idea of how, you know, we need technology that aligns with humanity and with people's interests instead of sort of sucking us in. It needs to give us value back.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things that he has really taught us all a lot about at Thrive Global is this idea of changing up, you know, your home screen, moving apps around, changing what notifications you have. I only have utility apps on my home screen. Mm. So, you know, the apps that actually give you, there's a company called Moment that shows you the happiness level. It tracks your usage of apps, but then it shows you happiness level compared to usage and utility apps, you know, things like Google Calendar, Waze, you know, Uber, things like that, that get you something in return are actually the apps people are always the happiest with. Whereas social media, you know, as I said, the more time you spend, the worse you feel.
So who else is doing content in the wellness space really well?
You know, this is a great question. I would actually say that one of the most important things that I think we can do in the well-being space is really change this idea that it is soft and feminine to something that it is about performance and well-being. And that is really, I mean, all of Thrive is about this idea that well-being is directly impacting performance. So, you know, how well you sleep, how well you feed yourself, how well, you know, how well you do any of these things are directly impacting the person you are, both at work and at home. And so I would say, like, I think actually I think Under Armour is doing fantastic things and has in recent years. And I would say that one of the best things that I think that they did was change the conversation around fitness and exercise to strength and movement. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that we're all about at Thrive Global is this idea of movement. And to the conversation about standing desks, you know, whether it is just that you're, you know, going out and walking around the block or that you're standing up for 5 minutes, I mean, whatever it is, we have to change the conversation around specifically, I think, toward women, this idea of fitness and exercise being thin. And you know, that conversation has really expanded over the last few years, thankfully. But I so believe in this idea that moving branding and messaging from an advertising perspective toward that broader conversation of what it means to be strong and what it means to move is such a critical change. And I think Under Armour's done a great job with that.
Yeah. How does that impact the brand partners that you're working with, right? So when a brand comes in and talks in the vein of what you would expect or perhaps stereotypical and what you're just alluding to on the feminist or soft angle, are you educating and informing, or are you finding that brands are actually coming, getting the message and like, I need to lean into this?
Yeah, so it's a great question. I mean, I would say that a lot of brands are really getting it. You know, we're working with Quaker Oats around, you know, we've had a year-long partnership with them since November 30th when we launched. And a big push of theirs is around nutrition and this idea of fuel. And I heard this great anecdote in a recent piece I was reading about this idea of, you know, if you knew that you could put gas into a car and that it would just, you know, make it move, you'd do one thing. But if you knew that you could put, you know, ultra gas into a car and you knew it would go two times as fast, you would obviously use ultra gas. And we don't apply those same standards to ourselves when it comes to things like nutrition or sleep or something.
Is this something in all of the research, because I'm sure you have an enormous volume of it, that is perceived as a female first issue, and knowing that that is the perception in market, how do you grow an audience, especially one that touches both male and female, and how are you kind of parlaying them to educate people?
Yeah, so it's a great question, because I would say, you know, absolutely the sort of wellness of the past was very much seen as a female topic. It was seen as soft and fluffy and like something that was an extracurricular activity. And I would say that the conversation is really changing. And I think, you know, I credit Ariana immensely with the, you know, what she has opened up around well-being and around sleep and around performance and just this idea that, Alexa, to your point, you know, permission granted. That's one of my favorite things that Beth Comstock and Linda Boff
loves that. Yeah.
You know, this idea permission granted to be your best self in whatever aspect of your life at any time that you need to be.
Yep.
And I think that one of the things that's so key is actually introducing new role models. And so that's where, Laura, to your point, you know, we bring in, I mean, on launch day, we had a piece from Jeff Bezos on why his getting 8 hours of sleep is good for Amazon shareholders. And, you know, we bring in, and Chip Berg, the CEO of Levi's, talking about, you know, just walking through the halls of the office, you know, wearing his workout clothes to make sure people see him going to work out, or putting his phone away when he gets home at night. And I think that it's so important to have both male and female voices representing this sort of new generation of new role models.
It's normal to expect young people
to like till their 20s
to go through the night. It's normal to expect them to show up on the weekends.
What you're
suggesting is that that approach is very old school in nature, and that as an industry, we stand to lose if that's what we continue to drive. And I would say that from a lot of the millennials Alexa and I talk to in this industry in particular, it seems to be one that is, they are driving that cultural change. You are seeing people doing yoga and the stand-up desks and all of this sort of thing. What do you see from your vantage point in that change, particularly in our world?
Well, it's a great question. I mean, trust me, thriving doesn't mean chilling out under a mango tree and not working hard. It means working hard when it requires it, but it doesn't mean being on 24/7, you know, in this kind of a culture that doesn't require it. And it also just means being more mindful around how you work with other people.
Yeah.
Because I think, you know, that's sort of one of the sort of other old adages of the past is this idea of like off my list on yours.
Yeah.
Which, you know, we all know that feeling. It's like that person who's emailing at 3 a.m. where it's like, you don't need to respond. Of course, I don't expect you to respond at 3 a.m, but I'm just getting it off my plate and dumping it in yours. Like, wow, that feels really collegial, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But I think that actually what I think the future of work really looks like is a much more collaborative process around information sharing and information gathering. Because I believe that so much of what you're talking about, this idea of to stay ahead of the curve, is the idea that you are the only person who can ever see that latest Digiday article or who never find that latest media post piece or whatever it is.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, whether it's a group Slack room where you're sharing the latest links, like I so believe that experimentation, growth, innovation, and learning in this industry has to come through collective hive mind information sharing and discussion.
So you can we like take a we're going to take a left turn because
sure.
So before you came
Hold on,
to
let me buckle.
It's going to be a fast one. Before you came to Thrive Global, you were at Time Inc. Mm-hmm. You created a whole new editorial platform for women called Motto.
Correct.
You have built audience from nothing. How do you build audience from nothing?
You start by super serving a passionate audience. So you find a need and then you fill that hole. And those people become your ambassadors and they become your community and they become sort of the largest megaphone that you can have, because people who feel passionately about something are going to be driving so much of your continued success. And so I think you start in the beginning from super serving. Mm-hmm. And I believe that, you know, the future is niche in a lot of ways. I mean, Thrive Global is a very broad, you know, we are going very deep on what is a broad topic, but we believe that you have to super serve that one passion and then the rest will sort of trickle out from there because you do get into so many different topics that you may never have thought you'd be covering.
So what you just said, because we talk about this so much in terms of, finding that passion, we're like, sign us up. We believe in, you know, the idea of super serving an audience. A lot of people in the traditional media space, Callie, might turn to you and say, you're pigeonholing yourself.
Yeah.
You're limiting your ability to build audience, and this industry is driven based
get
on scale.
Get scale.
What do you say to them?
Oh, man. You know, I would say I feel the days of spray and pray are so over. I mean, I firmly believe that delivering value add, you know, as we discussed earlier, attention time is so limited nowadays. I mean, I think about
and becoming more limited.
Absolutely.
Truly.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I think about things that I see that I call micro hates, which is like, you know, a clickbait article that then you just think, I'm about to unfollow that brand, you know, like if they do that one more time. And I will tell you that I think people's patience has become so low. If you do it once, you're gone. You're out of the feed. And then by the time people opt out of you, you have a real problem.
Yeah.
And so I would say, you know, I believe that you will get more value out of someone who cares so deeply and so genuinely about your topic or your niche or your area than you ever will from, you know, gazillions of drive-by hitters who don't have any brand recognition for what you stand for. And I think that really matters. I mean, the feed, you know, whatever platform it's on, you know, it's flying by these days. I mean, you can barely tell who's who. And I think that having a clear voice and having a clear sense of what you stand for and what you will deliver is so key. If your audience knows, you know, oh, I'm reading a Thrive Global article, or oh, that's a Thrive Global Instagram, like that to me feels so important. And in terms of, you know, if you're an advertiser, I believe that the value you will get in return from that group is far better.
So one thing I want to ask you, and we talk about this in the industry a lot, right? Our industry is really fueled by creativity. And then you're talking about well-being, and it seems like this obvious connection. But have you guys seen or has Thrive done any research or had people talk about how well-being and creativity are connected?
Absolutely. I mean, there's a ton of research out there directly connecting those two things. If you want to be your most creative, if you want your brain firing on all cylinders, if you want to be able to ignite that creative spark within you, it absolutely has to be at your best. You know, you have to be functioning physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, you know, whatever it is for you, it's all about being completely fueled.
So it's just like all of those amazing strategy kids in their 20s and, you know, copywriters and art directors and people who are like just cramming in this agency world, both on the media side and on the creative agency side, it just seems to like better put it down.
Yeah.
Put it down and walk away.
Yeah. And I think that's absolutely what it is. It's about creating the space as well for creative thoughts. I mean, you cannot expect people to do their best work sitting at a desk all day staring at email.
Totally.
Doing only that.
In fact, our best ideas, Laura and I, our best ideas came at night when we were
just jamming,
right? Yeah, like I was on the train going home and I was just listening to music and I was just letting my mind wander.
Well, it's like having aha moments in the shower, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's that idea of once you let your brain and your mind settle, you actually allow thoughts to come through.
Yeah. I mean, why don't we have recess and free think at work?
Like, well, I think a lot on the agency side, a lot of people try to create that with like ping pong tables and blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. But it's
there's a negative connotation. Yeah, those kids are over there playing ping pong.
Right. Well,
instead of thinking about free think and exercising.
I think that's more about looking cool or, you know, looking creative rather than actually infusing creativity via well-being into your culture.
The one thing that where I say, you know, forget the people who say you've gone too niche, is like the fact that well-being penetrates societies in ways in which it can actually solve bigger societal issues, i.e. in inner city schools, you see a lot of these videos popping up in your feed around kids doing meditation instead of going into detention.
Absolutely.
And what that does for that child in terms of reflecting, taking a time out, relaxing, and then going back into the fray, because who knows what all of the environmental factors are that solicited X behavior. So do you see, you know,
Thrive going into those places?
Yeah. So two key notes on this. One, the lead story of our Redefining Masculinity package was actually about the Mindful Masculinity Institute in Chicago that's working specifically with Chicago boys sort of on these exact issues around masculinity and what it means growing up in Chicago. And the other thing is we have the Thrive Foundation. And so the Thrive Foundation does trainings for nonprofits. We've worked with the mayors and the staffs and their staffs in Oakland and in Providence. We worked with the Global Citizen staff, but absolutely, and I think that this is such a key part of it, is that, you know, this message is meaningful to absolutely everyone. It has to be ubiquitous. This kind of knowledge is not something that can be shielded from people. It is information that is power and that really can change lives in such a meaningful way. So I absolutely think that, you know, the democratization of this kind of education is absolutely key.
I mean, if Lululemon or Nike or someone wanted to do something, partner with Thrive Global, go into an inner city school and start teaching what human performance is really about, right? Mindfulness.
I love that.
Yeah. It's time.
It's that time.
We're going to do it.
Oh, no.
Killed by DIY.
Callie Schweitzer.
Yeah.
You know the rules.
Okay.
Over here at door number one is kill.
Yeah.
What would it be? What are you killing?
So here I'm killing interstitial ads with countdowns. I believe that Forbes actually is doing away with theirs.
I was just going to say, Forbes!
Yeah. But I, for some reason, I feel like the box to X out, like the X where you need to close the X, like this is
it's a
stress. You
it's
can't
always
find
gone.
It. It's gone. It's invisible. It's
I think that Thrive Global actually has a partnership opportunity with the IAB to teach ways to de-stress the advertising experience.
Or I totally agree with that.
Flip it. How can the advertising world still be structured but more creative? Hello, that's what the IAB stands for, is like standards in advertising, but how can you still be creative?
I think that's so key. I mean, ideally, if you, when you're thinking about content, you want, and this is my little acronym, it's BAD, but you want something that it's...
I thought it was BAD.
No, it's
your acronym.
IIEA. It either informs, inspires, entertains, or activates, right? But you don't want activate in the sense of like agitates, right? You want like
that's
activate
a different a.
for change
that's
and
a different
movement.
A.
Exactly.
It's not I-I-E. So, right. What was it? I-I-E-A-A.
Exactly. Exactly. That's the bad A. Okay. And then what am I buying? So here's my question about buying. Am I buying for my personal usage?
She's thought so much about that.
I did think about this.
Both,
or am I buying
both.
For like I'm bolting it on?
You're buying
I mean, you're buying
it. You buy
it.
You bought
by the way,
it.
This is Adlandia. Do whatever the fuck you
right,
want, Kelly.
But,
I actually want you to say
like
fuck,
my hair. Like my hair, my hairdresser says, I always say, oh, you know, like thanks to so-and-so for this hair. She's like, girl, that's your hair. You bought it.
Oh, I love that. Oh, I love that. That's great. So I don't know. Should I buy all of Google? I'm very obsessed with productivity shortcuts and hacks within email products. So like I'm obsessed with this one thing called followup.cc, which allows you, it's like Boomerang
You've
and
told
things
me
like
about
that.
This.
But I
we
love
talked
it.
About this
and it's brilliant.
Broccoli.
And oh, a new one that I'm newly obsessed with, which is called I think it's like Show Inbox, where basically it hides my inbox from me at all times. And it then I have to click Show Me My Inbox, which then is like an active. It keeps track of how many times I went in. So this morning when, you know, I'd opened my inbox 20 times and been visible for 2 hours, I was like, is that it? Like, what did I need to be in my inbox? Although not really. Like I was editing. I mean, I didn't need to really be in my inbox. Like
right.
It makes me so much more mindful. And it does allow you to set times where either A, it locks you out of your inbox when ready. That's what it's called.
Nice.
Inbox when ready. It does allow you to block yourself from your own inbox. So like a certain time at which I am no longer allowed to use my email, which I'm not going to set
my
that because you know what? I know because it changes. But two, you can also set like if I hit a certain number of times, it blocks me out. So, you know, I love products like that. I love things that bring your attention to sort of the way in which you're doing something. I mean,
yeah. Okay.
Make you more mindful.
What
and then
are you
what
doing
am I
yourself?
Killing?
No.
What are you building yourself?
DIY. Oh, perfect.
What are you building yourself?
Oh, okay. I have an idea. Okay. My idea is I believe that we have, despite having Google, I think we're missing kind of like still an information architecture or structure of the internet. It's like, remember TV Guide? Like nobody uses TV Guide anymore. And yet like, I remember hearing on a podcast that one of the number one things searched on Hulu is Game of Thrones. And yet, like, people don't know that Game of Thrones isn't on Hulu because it's on HBO. Like, I think we've sort of everything has become so porous that everything is everything and therefore everything is nothing.
Yeah.
And so I feel like we need a little bit more structure around what and how to find good content.
That's the promise of personalization,
right?
And by the way, I just want to say people are searching for Game of Thrones on Hulu because Hulu search sucks and no one knows actually what's on Hulu. Hulu, fix it.
Fighting words.
Love you, but fix it.
Well, Callie, this has been one of the most therapeutic.
Oh.
She looks like
informative.
She looks very relaxed.
Laura
although
looks
she did come
revived.
Although she did come from the Jersey Shore.
And look, we you can come back anytime. You can come to my
all,
office. You can come to my house and
the
just
surface. Yes. To be honest, of like talking to you about Thrive Global, but I think like what I would love to have you come back and talk about is more about like little bit media future and storyteller, and really talk to us about where you think things are going. So you're coming.
Love that.
Back.
I love
episode.
That.
Maybe
I'm
that's
here.
An
episode
Atlantia too. Thrive Global IRL.
Ooh, yeah. Love that.
That would be great.
Love that.
So done. Done and done.
Do
so Callie Schweitzer, since you clearly know the format of the show, where do people find you?
At C. Schweitz on all social media.
I love.
Or you can email me at Callie, C-A-L-L-I-E, at thriveglobal.com.
It better be a smart email.
The best Monday to come back to after
Likewise.
A long weekend.
Thank you.
To hang
Thank
with you.
You.
Thanks,
Callie. Thanks,
Callie.
Bye.
So with that, I mean, should she send us a bill for the copay? I don't really know.
She's going to send you a bill for the copay.
We're definitely going to have Callie
back.
What
happens to me? I think she should split it with me. We're definitely going to do Callie's Corners. But first, we have thank yous to our wonderful producer who's currently in the studio, oming.
You
Cameron
look
Drews.
Super calm, Cam.
He is like unbelievably calm. I think it's because he's anesthetized himself to deal with us. But anyway, Andy Bowers.
Matt Turk.
Thanks, everybody.
To all our friends and family at Panoply and everybody in Atlantia, don't stop tweeting at us. We are having so much fun.
Thanks, everyone. We'll be back in 2 weeks
with an all new episode. Full disclosure, our opinions are our own.